Gilly, deep to left field. Has he done it? La Pina! Tie game on a franchise record 8th grand slam of the season. Gilly, a home run in 5 consecutive games. And we are all 9-8. Line drive into right field. Reddick's going to score. The Astros walk it off. 11-10. What a way to head to the All-Star break.
Good morning. On the 8th day of July, Mad Radio Sports Radio 610. Mike Meltzer, I'm back from a week of vacation. Joining me this morning, as he will be all week, is the one and only former Texans wide receiver, Cecil Shorts, in the building. Good morning, Cecil. How are you, sir?
Not too bad. How about yourself?
Doing well. Doing very well after a full week off. And so many things have happened over the course of the last week. Just, I know it's July, which is usually the dead time in sports, but NBA free agency was absolutely crazy last week, and that continued into the weekend. So much going on that we can dive into this morning. So much.
Yeah, this weekend, I mean, I think, was it Friday or that the Kawhi news hit?
Friday night.
Late Friday night.
I was
like,
about to
morning.
I was like in my bedtime routine, getting ready to go to sleep, and then I decided to check Facebook. And this is at like maybe 1 or 1:30 in the morning, like Friday into Saturday. And then I see somebody in some group that I'm for some reason following, you know, have this link to Kawhi and Paul George to the Clippers. And I was like, wait, is this happening right now?
Right.
And so that's how I spend the next 30 minutes of my day. But we'll get to that in a few minutes. I want to start, and we're going to do a lot, obviously. We are 2.5 weeks away from Texans training camp. Mm-hmm. We are at the Major League Baseball All-Star break as well. The Astros went into the break winning kind of a crazy game yesterday in which they fell behind by 5 runs. They came back. They won. This is a team that, even though they've been so good the last couple of years, obviously, they have not done a great job of going into the All-Star break playing well. They are right now. They've won 7 of 8 games. But the lead story this morning is what happened between Jake Marisnyk and Jonathan Lucroy at the plate yesterday in, I think it was the 8th inning yesterday, mm-hmm. where Springer sends a ball to right field and sac fly, one out. Marisnyk goes crashing into Lucroy. It was like a football collision on a baseball field.
It was.
Like, we don't see a lot of that kind of stuff anymore. And what happened was Lucroy was just demolished, basically, taken out of the game. All of a sudden, they go to the booth, they go to that replay, which seems to screw the Astros a lot the last couple of years, and they rule Jake Marisnyk out on the play. And here's what I thought about it. At first, I was enraged and felt like they made the wrong call. But now I kind of see where they were coming from on this. What did you think?
Well, based off what the rule you just described to me before air, to me, he didn't do anything wrong. Marisnyk. He was in his base path. He was running his lane to the plate. And what the rule book says, if I'm not mistaken, is you have to go out of your way to hit the catcher to be called out, correct?
That's the rule, basically, that a runner attempting to score may not deviate from his direct pathway to the plate in order to initiate contact with the catcher.
I personally don't think that happened. I think the catcher tried to block the baseline, tried to block the plate. So with the contact that happened, I don't think he went out of his way to do it. I think he just ran him over in a very violent football manner. But to me, it was a clean shot.
I felt like it was one of those weird things where neither guy was trying to create what ended up happening. Obviously, Jonathan Lucroy, but even Marisnyk. But Lucroy was basically taken one way. Marisnyk wanted to go in that direction. He made a very quick decision, and then there was basically nothing that he could do.
It happened so fast.
It did happen really
quickly. It happened
quickly.
So fast. And he didn't even catch the ball. So my thing, if you don't catch the ball as a catcher,
that's a good point.
You still can be called out, like the runner can still be called out?
Yes, he can still be called out if the umpire feels like the runner violated the rule. Even if the catcher, as you correctly point out, drops the baseball, the runner can still be ruled out.
I don't like that. I'm not a big fan of that. I guess if he catches the ball anyways, he's out because they made contact before the plate.
Then he would have been out,
Then he would have been out, yeah.
Then he would have been most likely out, exactly.
But I feel like it has to be like a direct path, like, okay, say you're he has to like have a direct going out of his way to the catcher, if that makes sense. So he has to like plant his foot and run straight into the catcher rather than a slight movement to the catcher to get to the home plate.
It looked basically like he had made that Mrazek had made a decision to deke one way to kind of go on the inside to grab a piece of the plate, and the throw just took Luke Roy to the exact wrong place, and there was nothing that anybody could really do. Mad Radio on a Monday, so we'll see what happens with that. Brad Ausmus thinks that Mrazek should be suspended for that play.
Suspended? Really?
Suspended, yeah. He was very upset after the game. He feels like Mrazek made a dirty play. This is the exact quote. Brad Ausmus, it certainly didn't look like a clean play. I don't know what actually happened, but it looked like Mrazek took a step to the left and bowled into him with his arm up. The call was right. Really, I think Major League Baseball should probably take a look at it. Considered some type of suspension, quite frankly.
Not at all. I mean, it was a spur of the moment. Just made an instant decision. Close game. Astros are coming on. Like, it wasn't dirty at all. Even when after he hit him, he got up and he looked at him like, hey, are you okay? And got, I mean, I don't think the players thought it was dirty. Because if the players thought it was dirty, they would reacted a little differently.
I tend to agree.
After the play.
And you could tell Mrazek immediately.
Immediately. Absolutely.
Immediately. He was sorry about what ended up happening on the play. Real quick, here was A.J. Hinch on his perspective for what baseball did with the rule yesterday.
The way they applied the rule on the field and then confirmed in New York was right. And but I think the rule has some, you know, some gray area that's really hard to navigate in real time. It's hard to navigate going that fast. And it's created a little bit of safety for the catcher, sort of. I mean, he takes his mask off nowadays. You used to have your mask on. You do have some area as long as you provide a lane, but you can hang in there pretty far and then drop a knee at the last minute as long as you have the ball. So it kind of everybody's in danger on all plays at home, but that still is an ugly one.
You know what this play reminds me of, Cecil? This play reminds me of those plays in football where the safety or the cornerback is basically squaring up to tackle a guy. And the ball carrier will then duck his head into the exact area in which the defensive player is going. And then it looks so much worse than it's actually intended to be. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
That's what that feels like.
I think that's a good example. I don't know. Like, to me, according to the rule and watching the play this morning with you, I just don't see where he did anything wrong. And I think A.J. Hinch is right, too. It happens so fast. Like real time is so fast, and it's just a reaction. And to me, I don't think it was dirty at all.
Now, on the bright side, the Astros did win later in the game, 11-10, and this was it was kind of a weird deal. It was one of those like ball don't lie situations. Everybody was so upset about the way that the umpires called this play in the review. And then in the 10th inning, Josh Reddick looks like he was almost definitely picked off second base. They go to the replay, and they just didn't have the right angle to definitively say that he was actually picked off. So the call was upheld. He was safe at second. Literally the next pitch, Springer sends one to right field. Astros win. So it was very much a ball don't lie kind of situation. And they win. They take 2 of 3 against the Angels this weekend.
Is there a limit on how many times you can challenge in the MLB?
I don't believe so.
So you can be as many times as needed?
I don't believe there is any limit. I'll double check on that. Mad Radio on a Monday. Cecil Shorts in with me all week. Seth is off. So the other big news this weekend, obviously, is Kawhi Leonard basically taking the basketball world and dumping it on its head, somehow getting Paul George from Oklahoma City to Los Angeles. Nobody, and I mean nobody, was expecting this to happen. And let me begin with this. If I tell you, Cecil, that the LA Clippers are the favorites to win the NBA championship, would you agree or disagree?
I would agree. But I don't think it's an overwhelming favorite. I think this year the NBA is going to be a lot of fun, especially the Western Conference. You got a lot of teams that improved this offseason, the last month or so with trades. I mean, you can look at Utah with getting Mike Conley in. You can look at Portland bringing Hassan Whiteside in. You can look at just Denver.
Well, the Lakers.
Lakers, of course, you know, bringing out Anthony Davis. You can look at Denver just bringing all those guys back. Nice young core, and they were second in the West last year. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But if I say they're the favorite, I wouldn't look at you crazy. Because those guys, I mean, look, Patrick Beverley. And it's funny because they have a lot of old Rockets on the team.
They do. Beverley, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell. Kind of makes me feel weird about things right now. What did you think of Kawhi's decision?
Well, I thought, let's see. Number one, I think him and his team did a great job of keeping things under wraps.
Absolutely.
Like, nobody had no clue what was going on. And after reading a few reports on ESPN with, I think, Ramona Shelbourne and Woj, I think all along his number one was the Clippers.
That's what it seemed like.
It seemed like the Clippers. Now, in Ramona's article, she wrote that he actually called Kevin Durant trying to get him to come on to the Clippers with him.
Yep.
And I thought that was interesting. And then once that fell through and then Durant made his commitment to Brooklyn, he said, okay, I'm going after Paul George. And Paul George makes sense. He's from L.A. He wanted to stay in L.A. He was from the L.A. area, I should say. He wanted to, he wanted to play with the Lakers or play in L.A., but nobody saw that coming. So I don't have an issue with it at all. I don't think Toronto would have been fun. Toronto's boring.
Like, what makes Toronto boring? I feel like it's a cool city.
It's a cool city, but I mean, just to won by like default.
Okay. So you mean from like a general NBA interest standpoint, you think Toronto bores you?
Toronto bores me. Like if Kawhi went back there and he had nobody come with him, I'm like, okay, well. What's all the hoopla about?
This is more exciting.
It's way more exciting.
This is more exciting. I agree with that. I think that Kawhi, first of all, I don't think we've ever seen this happen where the best player on an actual championship team in the NBA doesn't come back to that team. I don't think we've ever actually seen that happen in like the last 50 years. And someone can correct me if I'm wrong about that. I don't think I am.
No.
Like they might leave like a year or two later. I don't think anybody has actually left in the same summer in which they actually won a championship. Left to another team.
Jordan retired, didn't he?
He retired, yes.
Okay, might be right.
But left and gone somewhere else within that offseason.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. I was glad that he didn't go to L.A., to the Lakers, I should say, because that would have just been too much of a stack in the deck with LeBron and Anthony Davis. I do respect it, and here's why. If you look at the last calendar year, Kawhi Leonard went from making $220 million possibly in San Antonio to $190 million with the Raptors, possibly, to now making $140 million with the Clippers. I know these are still gargantuan amounts of money, but those are facts.
Yeah.
This guy went from making possibly $220 to making $140, and he's doing it because he basically wants to do it, and that I respect.
I think that's a credit to just who he is as a person. I think it just says, like, I mean, everybody says it all the time. Like, he just cares about basketball. He just cares about winning. He doesn't really care about anything else, really. And I think this move kind of dictates what he really is. And he just cares about winning. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Again, especially in the Western Conference. It's going to be tons of fun just watching the NBA this year. Even in the East, because you got, like, Al Horford going to the 76ers and Kemba and so it'll be to the Celtics. And it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun seeing Kawhi made the decision.
I've got like 8 teams that can win the NBA championship. Some people have more. We'll discuss coming up in the 7 o'clock hour exactly how wide open the NBA is.